You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And in the last 20 minutes, this was posted on Twitter by Jason Kelsey. No keg videos this year. I have come to a decision and will address it at a press conference this afternoon. One will assume, Dan Graziano, that that means he is going to announce his retirement.
That's the expectation. I just want to know if there's going to be a keg at the press conference because I think that could really improve attendance.
If indeed he is retiring, he will do two things, right? He will become a media superstar in whatever way he chooses. And then in exactly 5 years, we will see him in Canton, Ohio. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, Lock Hall of Famer, one of the greatest centers of all time, part of one of the greatest offensive lines we've seen in the NFL over the past couple years. And I think that you can make the case that him and his brother, look at the celebration.
Yeah.
I think you can make the case that him and his brother, Travis, are the best brothers in the history of the NFL, right there with Peyton and Eli Manning.
You'll agree, like, to me, he's an all-time great center. He was a great athlete, but I think he's going to be like John Madden, where in 10 years, we're going to be like, did he actually play? He's going to be so good in the media. He's going to have two Hall of Fame careers.
Yes, and whether it's with or without shirt, he seems to work fairly well either way. Hawk, talk to me. Jason Kelsey.
Yeah, amazing player, even better person. He's going to have an incredible media career. I do detest Dan's point of them being the best brothers. I like to say myself and my brother Archer Hawkins should be in the running. The numbers don't support it, but that's where my heart is.
Well, your mom probably told you you were cute.
We will dive into the analytics on that debate a little bit later as we welcome you back. We are live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. The Combine has wrapped up, and so let us get some predictions that emanate from it. Always so impactful. Orlovsky, we know you love bold predictions, but you have a good one coming out of the combine.
If you told me bold prediction or baseball bat to the face, I would tell Graz to go get them.
We have them.
Yeah, go get a bat.
But you've got a good one.
My bold prediction, Michael Penix, because of the tape and the way he threw the football this past weekend and that way he will in his private workouts, will get back into that first round. I think the talent and the way that he throws the ball is so unique. I understand what the medical history is, but Tua Tagovailoa went 5 or 6 in the draft and he had one. And I know that Michael Penix has a lengthy history with injuries, but the ability to throw the football is the number one trait a quarterback has to have, and he does.
All right, let's go to Hawk. Give us a bold prediction.
Yeah, this hurts me as a Bengals fan, but I don't think T. Higgins is going to be wearing the Cincinnati stripes black and orange next year. I know that they franchised him, but to Graziano's point that he's made, it feels like they are looking for a trade partner, and they don't want to see him depart in free agency without getting something in return, a la Jesse Bates from a couple of years ago. The reality is T. Higgins has receiver number one qualities and ability, but they have Chase there, and he's not going to be able to get that money in Cincy.
Mike T., prediction.
Kansas City Chiefs draft a wide receiver at 32 and don't sign one in free agency. It could be somebody like Ladd McConkey. It could be A.D. Mitchell from Texas. And I know people like Braz have speculated, hey, maybe Mike Evans was going to sign in Kansas City. There are so many great receivers in this draft. Go spend your money someplace else and draft a receiver at the bottom of the first round.
This, I think, shapes up to be the best wide receiver draft that we have ever seen. Graziano, how about you? A bold prediction.
Kirk Cousins leaves Minnesota and signs with the Atlanta Falcons. I think this is trending toward a separation there between Cousins and Minnesota. I don't rule out the possibility that the Vikings could come in at the last minute and get an extension done with him, and I think he would be amenable to that. But if they don't hit his number, I believe he hits the market, and I would expect the Atlanta Falcons to be among the most interested teams.
Okay, so let's live it again. Dan Graziano doesn't say that because it just jumped into your head, right? This obviously is something that people are talking about and whatever. He just came back from Indianapolis and all the rest of that. So let's live in a world where something like this happens, where all of a sudden Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. Feels like it shakes some things up, right? Because you've got Minnesota suddenly becomes a player in the quarterback conversation.
Have to go up.
Minnesota would have to go up, but I mean, there's no way the Bears trade Justin Fields to Minnesota. I mean, is there in the division?
They've done intra-division deals since these management teams have been in place there, but a quarterback, I don't see that happen.
No, Justin Fields would not go to Minnesota. No.
Well, hold on a second here. It's a marriage of convenience. Like, look, I know you're talking about like other players, like tight ends get traded within that division, and we've seen draft day trades, but Greeny, like. At some point, if you're Ryan Poles and the Bears, you got to make the trade. And if Minnesota's the best spot, like, it's a marriage of convenience.
Yeah, but if you're Minnesota, wouldn't you be way more inclined to be aggressive and going up in the draft and get a Drake May or a J.J. McCarthy?
Yes.
Than it would be to take that pick and invest it into a guy? Again, Justin, here's the we talked about this a little bit. Here's where the Justin Fields situation stands. Mike T., you know this better than I am, certainly Graz as well. You're going to have to take a pick that it sounds like maybe a mid-round pick, you know, fourth-round pick, let's make it the assumption. You're going to have to invest it in a player that, number one, you have to figure out, does he doubt himself? Number two, he has to figure out, can he learn a new offense and then go play at a really high level? And number three, it's going to cost just $28 million of the next 2 years, guaranteed, essentially, right? That's a lot with a little bit of an unknown. I love Justin's talent, but there is that little bit of unknown. That's number one. Number two, if you're Chicago. Here's where I get a little frustrated with the whole conversation around Chicago. Not frustrated, but the lack of explosive plays by Justin Fields in this offense is not why they have the number one pick in drafting early again. They created plenty of explosive plays. It was all the mistakes that this offense would make under Justin's, the sacks and the fumbles and the interceptions. And to all accounts, reports are they're going to take Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, I think, is an unbelievable talent. Guess what else he has in his game?
Yep.
A lot of mistakes. He's got a lot of sacks. He's got a lot of fumbles. He's got a lot of interceptions. So that's where I get a little bit stuck on is for the organization to move off of a player and that be the fundamental reason why, and to replace him with a player that is talented but has a lot of the similar characteristics I get stuck on.
Agreed. Just to take you to the draft room to build on Dan's point, every team, Chicago in those top three, they're saying Lincoln Riley has coached this player now for 3 years. And when you have over 80 sacks and 32 fumbles, and Lincoln Riley is a really good coach and they've drilled fundamentals, like how much better is it going to get? So I would take Caleb Williams one, but there is a question.
You would or would not?
I would.
You would.
But there are some question marks, and you have to say, can we fix it? There is risk with this pick. And if you didn't know anything, Greeny, and you just flew in this year, I know Dan Fields this way, Jaden Daniels, hard stop, outplay Caleb Williams. And for me, by the way, I would still take Drake May before Jaden Daniels. But my point is this, like the gap between Caleb Williams and those other two, if it was here, it's like here now. And to me, like Chicago, they're in a tough position from a standpoint that if Justin Fields goes someplace else and plays well, like that's something else.
But hold on a second. I mean, Hawk, let me ask this question to you. So we've got Caleb Williams and we have Jaden Daniels and we have Drake May. If everything else was equal and Justin Fields was in that, where would he be in that? Where would Justin Fields be if you're just gauging a prospect and deciding how good could he be for me? The idea that we're committing to these people for that long a period of time is unrealistic anyway. Teams move on from these guys quickly if they don't work out. Where would Justin Fields be in that totem pole, if you will, if we were just evaluating them as prospects?
I would have him there at two or three. And I think to your point, Greeny, that's the NFL. The NFL is about potential, and they all get enamored with what could be with the prospect. And unfortunately, as you develop and you go into your actual NFL career, it removes any of the question marks. The good thing for Justin Fields is he does have ability, and he has shown progress in the way that he's played the game. But all these shiny new toys, especially coming off the combine and going into the draft, yes, teams are going to get enamored with that. That being said, about the discussion about Justin Fields or Caleb Williams and what fits where. For Ryan Poles in this front office, they made that decision a year ago to trade the number one pick. Regardless of what you feel about the prospect, they're not going to do it 2 years in a row. They're going to try to get what they can out of it, at least try something new, because effectively it did not work a season ago. And I hope teams don't read too much into that and miss out on the opportunity to get a really good young player who has had his best feel for NFL football that he's had in his career so far.
If Justin Fields was in this draft class, we don't know anything about his pro playing, he would be third, firmly third behind both Caleb and Jaden. Both Caleb and Jaden are equally as athletic and both are better passers of the football, naturally better throwers of the football. Where he would stack with Drake May, You know, I think Drake's a little bit looser than Justin is as a thrower, but he would be third.
You know, Dan, one of the things you're discounting, though, is Jaden Daniels isn't built to last. And, like, that is just the hard reality. When you evaluate a prospect, he started off at Arizona State at 180 pounds, and I hope he plays 20 years and never misses a day. But when you look at his build and say, is he built for the rigors of a 17-game season, there's going to be concerns about that with Jaden Daniels.
Look, Justin Fields has been through the professional equivalent of nightmare, right? No, I mean, God. Everything bad that can happen to a young quarterback has happened, and that has destroyed more young quarterbacks than have ever recovered from it. This kid has persevered through all of it. He has demonstrated leadership. Yes. The entire locker room still loves him. Mm-hmm. The organization still likes him. They're only making this move because they have Carolina's pick. Right. I think teams, first of all, there's no way it's going to be a fourth-round pick. If I'm Pittsburgh right now, I'd trade a second round pick to Chicago for him so fast it would make your head spin.
But I don't think they will. And I think that it goes to the issue of how teams perceive their own situations versus the way we do. Pittsburgh, very, very patient. They have Kenny Pickett. They don't want to give up on that yet. And that thins out the market. If Atlanta is, in fact, thinking about a veteran option in free agency like Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield, that thins out the market a little bit. And I think you do start to see the price drop. To your point, I don't think we'd be having this conversation about the Bears moving on from Justin Fields if they were not holding the first pick in the draft.
That's right.
I think it's not about giving up on Fields. It's about resetting the contract clock at quarterback and taking a prospect that you think could be transformational.
Do you know how old Justin Fields is?
24.
Tomorrow he will be 25. His birthday is tomorrow. He'll be 25 years old. There were quarterbacks in this draft who are 24.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that the book has been written on him.
The Browns and the Jets should call.
They are missing the boat. Well, don't start with me. All right. As we continue. All right. Caleb Williams, he did not work out at the combine. Mike T says that maybe he made another decision that was a big mistake this past weekend. We'll dive into that a little bit. Plus, speaking of Tannenbaum, he was so impressed by J.J. McCarthy. He is going to make an enormous prediction about where McCarthy is going to go. You don't want to miss that, and you don't want to miss this. Dan with an iPad. He's going to show you exactly what you need to see from a quarterback who is rising like crazy. Next, get up on ESPN. Plus, I'm told there's breaking news.
Yes.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, back on Get Up, and as promised, breaking news. This is from Shefty's Twitter feed just a few moments ago. Before free agency begins next week, I'm reading it verbatim, the Buccaneers and 5-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Mike Evans reached agreement on a 2-year, $52 million deal that includes $35 million guaranteed. Evans now has a real chance, Shefty writes, to start and finish his career in Tampa as a Buccaneer. He was expected to be one of the top free agent wide receivers available. Now, instead, he will be a recruiting tool for that team to try to make sure they bring back Baker Mayfield. Fill in any blanks for us here, Dan.
Yeah, they were hopeful, but not certain that this could get done. I think the length of the deal probably helped, right? Didn't need to stretch to three or four years for a wide receiver who's about to be 31 years old. The number, the average per year, 26, is a good number for Mike Evans, and I think it reflects an organization that appreciates what he's done and sees him as kind of a unique and unprecedented player. It looks like a good compromise.
Yeah, let me get our wide receiver in on this. Hawk, what do you think of this? He's staying in Tampa.
Mike Evans is one of the most consistently elite receivers that we've ever seen in the NFL. He is underrated even by the standards of him making that much money and everyone knowing he's a top guy. But if you look from his college career up until now, he has put quarterbacks on the map. And he's a big reason why we feel so positive about Baker Mayfield. This was the right move for the Buccaneers. And I think even in those two seasons, he's going to do what he did in the last two seasons and even outplay the contract past expectations for a 31 and 32-year-old wide receiver.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield will be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. He is not going to leave Mike Evans. So the fact that they re-sign Mike Evans makes sure that they will re-sign Baker Mayfield. He is no longer going to be a free agent. I think Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer. I also think this keeps the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, while early in this offseason, the favorites in that NFC South.
Yeah, Greeny, just to echo, at 30 years old, to have 13 touchdowns, like, there is no lapse in his game whatsoever. And to me now, like, to Dan's point, you keep the nucleus together. I can't imagine that Baker Mayfield's far behind. You don't sign Mike Evans and let Baker Mayfield graduate.
And the other point that was raised to me in discussions in Indianapolis was Mike Evans, though 31, like, there the aspects of his game that make him great could age well, right? Like, he's not reliant on speed. Right. He's not going to get shorter, right? So he'll still be able to win those contested catch balls and outsmart defenders.
He is, but not for a while. I find I'm not as tall as I used to be.
I'm a lot older.
Imagine he'll retire by
five and a half.
Earlier this week, or not this week, it's only Monday morning. Earlier this morning, we did bold predictions coming out of the combine, and Mike T has an outstanding bonus bold prediction. Everyone listen closely because this is fascinating.
Greedy, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, University of Michigan, will be a top five pick. I think it's the Chargers that will bail out of there, and I think somebody comes up. Maybe it's the Giants one spot. Maybe it's the Vikings if they lose Kirk Cousins. He had an incredible workout in Indianapolis, and Greeny, when you combine what he did at the University of Michigan, he lost one game as a starter, and his stats aren't close to those other guys, but when he was asked to make consequential plays, he was outstanding. I don't see any holes in his game, and I think he's clearly the fourth quarterback, and I think four quarterbacks go in the top five.
It's a big prediction, and he's not the only one I've heard say it. Remember, Jim Harbaugh said he's the best quarterback Michigan ever had. Obviously, Tom Brady, et cetera, with the NFL career, but during his career there, McCarthy. Look, he's a player all of us have seen, but that was a team that won running the ball and playing defense primarily. Show me J.J. McCarthy.
Two things. He makes the hard look very simple, and no one's more confident in his arm ability than J.J. McCarthy. So I want to show this clip because this is called All Go Special. It's four verticals. One thing I know about this play, you do not call this play unless you are totally confident in your quarterback's ability to make difficult throws. Now, you're going to see J.J. McCarthy leave the pocket here. What stands out to me is nobody's open, okay? No one is open for Michigan. Nebraska plays eight-drop defense, and he's going to get away from pressure and make a beautiful on-the-run to his left throw to Roman Wilson for a touchdown. I want to show everybody the back angle of it because there's a little bit nitty-gritty when it comes to this quarterback play. Remember, all goes special. Everybody is going to be flowing downfield. Couple things that I love about J.J. McCarthy on this. You're going to get an inside rush from this defensive tackle out of Nebraska. He wins, okay? Now, so often when a quarterback gets pressure off of his left and inside, the nitty-gritty is, reaction-wise, we're going to run away to our right from that.
Mm-hmm.
Two downsides to that. Number one, everybody is flowing towards the top of the screen, so you're not going to have anybody to go throw the football to. Number two, this defensive end is going to have contained, so you're going to go nowhere, and you're going to have nowhere to go with the football. This is what I love about J.J. Make the really hard look very simple. He is going to do what we call a spin-out move. The spin-out move is when you get that internal pressure, put your left leg into the ground and get away from that pressure. Watch how JJ, with that internal pressure, is going to spin away from it and get away from that defensive end. Now, two hands on the football. Why? Because that's called the dead man zone. You keep that guy near you, or that guy's near you, you got to protect the football. As you get away from him, go to one hand. You use your speed, and again, full speed onto his left, from the 20-yard line, throws an absolute dart to Roman Wilson for the touchdown. That is very hard. He's made it look simple. Now let's go to an in-the-pocket play. I love this. Okay, Michigan State is in a two-shell defense. When you're in two-shell defense, ideally we want to throw the ball down the middle of the field, okay? Now Michigan's going to run a shallow cross by Roman Wilson right side of the screen. Now when that happens, this safety is going to do what we call cut it. He's trying to get ahead of it, okay? Now when that happens, this corner, you see him pointing? They're going to change rules, essentially. Corner's going to go over the top. Safety's going to cut that shallow cross. Remember, I told everybody home, we want to throw the ball down the middle of the field, okay? He's got Loveland, his tight end, going down the middle of the field. Now, here's the thing, Greeny. When you're going to throw this ball down the middle of the field, safety cutting, corner replacing, you cannot throw the ball with a lot of touch. You know, a lofted ball, it has to be firm, because if you loft it, who's going to go make the play? The corner, right? This ball's got to be firm from J.J. McCarthy. So often we hear this saying, when you're throwing against a middle linebacker that has his head turned, you want to throw the ball off the backside of his helmet. Right by his ear, you want this football to go. You want it to go right by that defensive linebacker's ear. Look at this throw by J.J. McCarthy. Make the really hard things look simple. That ball goes right by that linebacker's ear, firm on an absolute rope before anybody realizes it by Michigan State's defense. The really difficult plays that for so many other quarterbacks are hard, his talent makes it look very simple.
And he's bigger than, this is going to sound ridiculous, but he's bigger than he looks, too. Sure. When the measurables came in this week, I think there were a lot of people wondering, is he going to be smaller than advertised? He was not. The measurables came in big as well. The tape is outstanding. Here's what Mel says. He put out his latest mock draft the middle of last week. He had the three quarterbacks going at the very beginning, and then he had McCarthy going at number 12 to Denver. But again, to recap, Mike T, you're telling me that by the time we get to 12 or anywhere near that, you believe McCarthy will be long gone.
Yeah, someone's going to try to move up with the Chargers at 5 again to get in front of the Giants at 6. And again, you know, we could talk about wins being a quarterback statistic, but I fell in love with J.J. McCarthy in 2022 when he's down 2 points against Illinois at home, and it was a freezing cold day. Not for me, because I was in the press box, but he went down and got the game-winning field goal with his feet, with passing, drawing pass interference. He is a winner. He can make all the throws. And what's really interesting to me, Greeny, is if he had played for LSU, what would his stats look like? They look a lot closer to Jaden Daniels. If Jaden Daniels was at Michigan, his stats would look a lot closer to J.J. McCarthy. And that's where this debate is so much fun and so interesting. But he can do everything. Like, that workout shows he can make every throw with great anticipation and really good arm strength.
Hawk, give me a quick take. What do you think? J.J. McCarthy, top 10, top 5?
10 feels like a stretch. Top 5, I don't see it happening. I think he's a great quarterback. I think what's special about him is exactly what you said. When the moments get, in the waning moments, he gets better as a competitor. That's the portion that you're not going to be able to measure at a combine. I thought he had a great day throwing the football. He had some inconsistencies there, but I feel like as confident about JJ now as I did before the combine, but top 5 seems like it's a tough one for me.
What do you hear, Dan?
Teams want to like him. I think teams went into the combine very intrigued about him. The measurements came back good, right? His height and weight came back good, which was a concern for teams. And then the throwing workout, I had heard a couple different things on that. Like, outside the numbers, maybe does need to be a little sharper and more consistent. But if you think you can iron that out, this is a prospect teams are high.
Who cares about how a guy throws at the combine? He's throwing to guys he doesn't know. Watch the tape.
The question was,
okay?
What'd you hear?
Unless it's awesome and you're like, wow, it's so impressive.
Just said, what'd you hear?
Well, I'm telling you. Here's the group. I don't know all that. Yep. 11 through 14 is Minnesota, Denver, Las Vegas, and New Orleans. You can make the case that all four of those teams can go up and grab J.J. McCarthy.
And maybe Arizona at 4 or the Chargers at 5 willing to trade out. Those could be the hot spots. In the meantime, another quarterback involved. Caleb Williams didn't work out at the combine, but Mike T thinks he made another mistake this weekend. You'll hear what that is next.
Hey, Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Get Up. The game is called Drop the Mic with Mike Tannenbaum. Coming out of the combine, you were watching closely. Give me some numbers. How many wide receivers are going in round one?
Seven, Greedy, and we may make it eight when it's all said and done. Now that Mike Evans is off the board, let's give credit to Mel Kiper, who predicted this before everybody ran. A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, they will go in the bottom of the first round. Seven is the floor. It's a historically great group.
The speed on display this weekend was ridiculous. How about the quarterbacks? How many will we see go in the first round?
Six will go, and they're going to go in the first half of the first round. Seattle's picking 16, and I think that's where Michael Penix goes. J.J. McCarthy, I got going in the top five. I think Bo Nix goes somewhere in that group, as Dan O alluded to, like maybe Seattle as well.
Wow.
So six in the first half.
Six quarterbacks in the first 16.
I love you, Mike T. You're
picks.
The best.
That would be something. All right, and then finally, what's the pressure point? Where are you looking on the first night?
New England Patriots at number three, Greedy. What is their evaluation of Mac Jones? That tells us everything, because if they're going to say, hey, we're going to give him 1 year, then all bets are off. So many teams are going to try to come up for one of the big three. I am fascinated by that decision.
All right, so there's a lot here I want to react. Let's just go back to Graziano's face for a moment here, if we
do
can.
Do we have to? How many picks do you think there are in the first round?
So, we all understand quarterbacks get pushed up these boards. We did see five of them go in the first 16 picks in 2021. Okay. Mac Jones was one of them, and Zach Wilson out. And Trey Lance. Yeah. Most of them don't work out, but we understand sometimes these quarterbacks do get overdrafted, if you will. I mean, you, Michael Penix, you told me you think is a first rounder.
Yeah.
Bo Nix?
I could see Denver taking Bo Nix. Bo Nix has got a lot of the traits that I think Sean Payton likes in a quarterback. I don't think six is – obviously the number sounds outrageous, but when we think about the teams that are – either needing in the now or needing relatively soon, and the talent out of this group, it's not unthinkable.
Hey, Greedy, just to go back to that, Minnesota 11, assuming they lose Cousins, obviously, Denver's at 12, the Raiders, the Saints, the Colts,
Seattle,
that's why,
group.
Yeah, that's why I think those other quarterbacks get quote-unquote overdrafted.
Well, so talk to me about this. Again, I hate saying that about these young men. This is their lives, and they're trying to say, look, God bless them. I hope they all get drafted early. I hope they all have great careers.
Yeah,
but was that the sense that you got there, that people are super high on these quarterbacks, and in the absence of a lot of high-level free agents, I mean, all of a sudden, people aren't excited about Justin Fields. People aren't excited about Russell Wilson. Is it because they're all looking at filling their needs in late April?
I think there's a chance. Mike T knows what he's talking about. I'm not disputing that. But I do think it's not a matter of like, oh, we need quarterbacks, so we take one. I think if you're Denver and you have your eye on one of these guys and you can't get them, you don't then just take the next quarterback on your list in the first round.
Sure.
Right? Like, I think then you wait till the second or the third or sign one of the veterans, et cetera. So, yeah, I think it'll be fascinating to see. We're in the regrouping period, right? People are back from the combine, having their meetings. What did we think of this guy? What do we think our chances are of this? We already saw somebody re-sign their own free agent receiver this morning, so I think there'll be some of the opinions will harden here over the coming days.
Yeah, those of you just joining us, Mike Evans re-signs in Tampa, 2-year deal, so he will not become a free agent. Hawk, I haven't had you on in a couple of weeks. As we look at the very top of this draft, I mean, Dan Orlovsky is on record as saying, and he's not the only one, he believes Jaden Daniels would be the number one pick on his board. If he were making the pick, he'd go with Jaden Daniels at number one. If you were making the pick, Hawk, who would you take number one?
I would take Jaden Daniels as well, because Jaden Daniels to me has the highest floor. I think Caleb Williams has the higher ceiling. He has an incredible arm talent. He does some things natural that you just can't teach a quarterback, not at this juncture, not in their entirety of their career. But that being said, if I'm a general manager, I feel like the more sure thing is Jaden Daniels for the tangibles and the intangibles and the combination of both of those things. Now, that being said, again, Caleb Williams is an incredible talent, but I think his decisions that he made at the combine probably raised more questions than it gave us answers.
Okay, I wanted to get to that. So, we live in a world where we're all glued to this, right, every minute of it. Many people probably were not living that way. What is it that Caleb Williams did at the combine that was so unusual?
He didn't take the physical, and I think that's a big mistake, and here's why. In 2009, we have the 17th pick in the first round, and we were able to get Matt Stafford in for a visit. He didn't work out, but he did come in for a visit. I knew we could get to 5. We wound up taking Mark Sanchez. Obviously, we couldn't get from 5 to 1 with Detroit. If I was representing Kay Williams, I would say, you just never know. Just take the New York Giants. What happens if they say Chicago? We're not getting off the phone. We'll give you 3 first-round picks, Kayvon Thibodeau, and anything else you want. Caleb Williams is going to be a New York Giant. You just never know. And now you're just creating more questions unnecessarily. He's a great player. Presumably he's healthy. Just take the physical, because you just don't know the dynamics behind the scenes, what's going to happen at the top of the draft.
I understand your context. There are going to be teams that are going to be turned off by this, by the decision of Caleb Williams to do nothing. There are going to be teams who don't care. There's going to be teams who are going to be like, yeah, we do not care at all, right, or for the choices that he did. And there will be teams who sit there and say, well, he's a unique personality. He marches to the beat of his own drum, and this is just another thing that falls in line with it. But I don't think this is an extreme in any way.
In the end, it's really only going to matter what the Bears think, right? If they're set on taking him, then he doesn't have to talk to any other teams. But I'll tell you this, not even the Bears are going to draft him until they give him a physical. Like, he's going to have to do that. And I would like to know when his visit is, because if you're going to trade Justin Fields because you know you're taking a guy number one, you probably should have given that guy a physical already.
Greeny, some other
I'm not kidding. I mean, that's the kind of thing that could hold it up, right?
Greeny, there's other context here to Hawk and Dano's point. There's about 30% of the NFL that would take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. So I think Caleb Williams would go first. I would take him first. But it's not the slam dunk decision I think others believe.
Sort of an interesting, like, under the radar story from the weekend, and we'll continue to follow it here. More football as we go. Also, this reminder, ESPN Bet is the official sports book of ESPN. It's the only place to find exclusive offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sports book bet. Download today. What a play. Let me go back to the NBA. It was a very interesting weekend. Let's do some legs work. Oh, look at legs. Oh, look at that photo.
Wow.
I like it. All right, Timmy.
PG show, legs.
Yeah, they put his face on my body there. Okay, legs. Boston, what a drubbing they put in against the Warriors yesterday. Let's start with the Golden State side. Are we concerned about that loss?
Hey, well, first of all, I didn't know anybody had a camera in the gym this morning at the hotel. It's pretty good that they caught me there. Listen, I don't think they should be concerned about this for this reason, Greeny. This isn't a championship caliber team. Right now, Golden State's measuring stick is just try to make a first round interesting or threatening in the Western Conference. The Boston Celtics are a buzzsaw when they get going like this. Golden State's shorthanded. They were at the end of a trip. Steph Curry didn't even know if he was going to play. And when they got hit with that barrage early in the game, they basically checked out. Doesn't matter if it's a 20-point loss or it's 50. They're not in the Celtics league, and they know that.
Okay, next. You were here last week. I know you love the Mavericks. They lose at home against the shorthanded Sixers team. What are we thinking about Dallas today?
Well, we're thinking that this is a team still that frustrates everybody because they're just not willing to lay it on the line defensively. They don't leave enough skin on the floor, Greeny. They don't stack together multiple effort plays on that end. They've given up 127 points a game in their last five, and I was all in on the acquisitions at the trading deadline. I think this team is a threat in the West, but not unless they commit fully to defending.
And then this Saturday night, in a game you saw on ABC, LeBron James boldly went where no one had ever gone before. Already the all-time leading scorer in the history of the league, he reached 40,000 points. How do we put that in perspective?
You know, this is really what's most amazing about this to me, Greeny, is the fact that LeBron James never really viewed himself or carried himself as a raw scoring threat. That's not really the way he viewed the game. In fact, when he was first thrust upon the scene, the thing that stood out to all of us, besides the athletic ability, was his vision and passing. I think LeBron James always viewed himself more as a guy that wanted to control the game as a facilitator first. So the fact that scoring wasn't really his primary wheelhouse to end up with 40,000 points is astonishing, and it speaks to his talent, it speaks to his physical dominance, it speaks to longevity, no question about that. I mean, the guy, you know, what he does to his body to be able to play to this level, pushing 40 years old, I don't know that we'll ever see it quite like this again. So LeBron James, kudos to him, because this is really a record that no one really saw coming when he first entered the league, that he would be the all-time leading scorer. Certainly saw greatness, but not as a scorer to this degree.
Now, when you combine the assist numbers, the rebound numbers, the rings, the MVPs, he's the most accomplished individual player in the history of the sport. The question is, will we see him in the winner's circle again? He accomplished that number in a game against Denver. Are the Lakers good enough to do anything interesting like they did a year ago?
This is a different Western Conference, Greeny. There's too many landmines out there. Now, I will say there are teams still trying to figure out who they are. I mean, Dallas and Phoenix probably at the top of that list. So there may be some opportunities to make it interesting. I just don't see this Lakers team being close to being capable of what they did a year ago. They caught some breaks last year. I think they had an inexperienced team early. Then they get the Golden State Warriors, who was just undersized, and the Lakers swallowed them up defensively before they ran into a Denver team that was significantly better. They got swept. I don't see that happening this year. I don't think there's a path where you're winning a round or two in the Western Conference. I don't think the Lakers get out of the first round, and they may not survive the play-in, to be honest with you. They just don't have that same level of depth this year, and the Western Conference is just too loaded, too many quality teams.
Look, we could have KD, Steph, and LeBron all in the play-in this year. That would be something. Before I let you go, I want to show you who had some serious flavor last night. That is brought to you by Hidden Valley Ranch. Legs, Victor Wembanyama, first rookie ever with consecutive 25-point, 10-rebound, 5-assist, and 5-block games. I mean, put in perspective the last month we've seen from Wembanyama.
I'll sum it up this way. The league is in trouble. The league is in trouble because Victor Wembanyama now is completely comfortable, and he got there quicker than anybody thought he would. He now is doing things that really defy logic. I see every night, Greeny, two or three things that Victor Wembanyama does that I think he's the only player in the league that can make some of these plays, including a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. I thought the Rookie of the Year award early was Chet for the first 2 months. Then it was sort of neck and neck. It's a runaway now. Victor Wembanyama, it's going to be a landslide victory for Rookie of the Year, justifiably so.
He's become the most watchable individual player in the sport, just like that. Legs, thank you. Now get back into the gym there and keep working on those legs. As we continue, talk. A lot of words at a Big D, but we'll make sure you hear the only one that really, really mattered. And speaking of really mattering, here we go. Graziano versus Hembo. So we just talked about LeBron getting to 40,000 points. Who was the first quarterback to reach 40,000 passing yards? Answers next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so here's the hilarious part. Dan Graziano is genuinely great at these. Dan Orlovsky, with all due respect, is terrible at them. And when I read the question, who was the first quarterback in NFL history to reach 40,000 passing yards, I could see Graziano looks like he doesn't know.
It's and what did you say? Very one of two people.
Who are the two?
It's no, I'm not going to give it away.
Well, you're standing here to give it away.
I'm going to whisper my guesses.
Don't whisper anything. We're on television here. Who are the two people?
It's Tarkenton or Unitas.
Tarkenton or Unitas, he says.
So that's right. But my question was, like, Unitas is there? Like, you're sure he has 40,000? Because he would have got there first,
Johnny,
right?
Johnny, he has 40,000, yep.
He would have got there before Tarkenton.
Correct.
Man, I wanted to guess Tarkenton. You think I should guess Unitas?
I don't know who's younger.
Yeah, he knows who's younger, and so do I.
Unitas.
That's correct.
Oh! Yes, you got it. You're welcome,
man. It is.
You know what I said?
It is.
Take that, Hembo.
Oh, Hembo is down. Hembo is down.
I got redemption now.
Unitas reached 40,000 yards in his final season, 1973, as a San Diego Charger. How about that? You know what? I don't think you get it if it's not for Orlovsky.
I know, but you know what? There's no I in team.
No,
there isn't me, though.
My point is, those are just words I never thought I'd hear myself speak. 14-5 Graziano. That's how our week begins. Let me recap the weekend for you here with just five things. These are not necessarily presented in order of importance, but just five things in case you did not pay much attention to what happened in sports this weekend that you should be aware of. Two milestones. We just showed you LeBron James surpassing 40,000 career points. That, in fact, was the reason why we had 40,000 as the number there. This is something that if you were my age and you were a kid, you would have said there's no chance anyone will ever even approach this number. The fact that he surpassed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar itself was stunning. He is putting that record in a place that no one will even sniff it. Speaking of which, Caitlin Clark establishing herself as quite possibly the greatest college player that ever lived, setting the D1 scoring record, passing Pete Maravich. Andrea Carter made the point earlier. All she needs on her resume is to win a championship. They got that close a year ago. Her team this year probably isn't quite as good, but from an individual standpoint, you can't accomplish more in college basketball than Caitlin Clark has. To the NBA, it is now or never for the Boston Celtics. They have had such disappointing endings the last couple of years. A series I still think they should have won against Golden State a couple of years ago, and then somehow losing that Game 7 at home. Just no showing in Game 7 at home last year against the Heat. This team is so good. They are so much better than anyone else in their conference. It's now or never for Boston. And then two observations from the world of football. My genius, as I've told you many times, will not be fully appreciated till long after my time. I told you 2 weeks ago the Giants needed to trade up to get a quarterback. As it turns out, I might not have even had the right quarterback. Forget about Drake May. They're going to need to trade up to get J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy is going to go either 4 or 5 in this draft. Someone's moving up to either swap with Arizona or the Chargers. And finally, all the pressure in the world, I think, is on the Bears right now and how they handle Justin Fields. I'm not as convinced as Mike Tannenbaum and others are that they need to move quickly. The one thing I know for certain is they need to move well. Because how this thing plays out, my level of belief in Justin Fields is such that if they wind up giving him away for a song, that may wind up coming back to look very, very bad someday. So with the market not being as robust as we expected it to be, I think there is a lot of pressure right now on the Bears to get this deal right. We put the crew together here. Let's pick it up from there. You're telling me they need to make a move on Justin Fields as quickly as possible. I'm telling you, if they give him away for anything less than a second-round pick plus some, I think they're making a huge mistake.
Well, agree. There's a number of reasons, because I don't see how that market gets better, because we're going to go through the draft. There's going to be less seats available. And then for Justin Fields, I'm anxious. I want to be there on the first day of free agency. We're already talking about Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans being reunited. So wherever I'm going, I want to get there right away. And the last part of it, Green, and I've been there running an organization. If I'm Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, I want closure. I want it, assuming it's Caleb Williams.
Right.
Hey, this is our future. Thank you, Justin Fields. Best of luck. So for all those reasons, ASAP serves really both sides here.
Oh, okay, so Baker Mayfield's off the market, assuming-wise. Mike Ivins staying. So then the next person is Kirk Cousins. And after that, it's going to be what does Denver do with Russell Wilson? And then after that, teams are going to have to figure out and ask themselves the question, is it worth us taking whatever pick it's going to take? And it does matter, Greeny. It's a second-round pick is a massive pick in the NFL. Is it worth taking a second-round pick and investing into Justin Fields, or are we going to wait to the draft because we believe that we can use that second-round pick and move up in the draft and get somebody? Does a team go, you know what, instead of using that second-round pick and investing that money into Justin Fields, we're going to go sign Sam Darnold as a free agent? Like, that's where teams are going to start have to figure it out. I have never thought it was going to be a first or second round pick for Justin. I've always thought, realistically, it was going to be like a fourth, maybe a third round pick for him.
I can't wait until Justin Fields runs for 1,000 yards next year.
No one
looks markedly better throwing the football than he ever has before in a place where they believe in him and support him with an offense.
If this was a year ago, I think it would be easier. But again, the timing and where he stands financially has to come into that conversation.
Hawk, Justin Fields, gimme go.
I mean, Mike T talked about 6 quarterbacks being taken in the first round. I think the conversation for the GMs will be, if we do that, if we reach for Bo Nix, Michael Penix, early in those rounds because we get scared and we're not confident in those players for the next 3, 4, 5 years or beyond, you are essentially tying your career to them. When the smarter move may be, well, I have questions around those guys, I should go sign Justin Fields. We try to see what he can do in the next season or two, and if not, we're still there to say, okay, everyone agreed that was a project, that was a chance. Let's go find our quarterback. That's the conversation that I'm having if I'm in the front office.
I mean, you said it to me Friday. They're not getting the offers they expect.
But now this week, everybody comes back from the combine. What do we really think of this next tier of quarterbacks? What are our realistic chances of maybe getting a Baker Mayfield or a Kirk Cousins? And if you assess those differently than you did a week ago, maybe you look at Justin Fields differently. And again, we talk about what the return could be. Second round pick, third round pick, fourth round pick. What has Ryan Poles done a ton since he's been Bears GM? He's traded for players.
Right.
And that's what got the deal done a year ago, right? The DJ Moore inclusion from Carolina. So don't be surprised if it gets creative on that end, too. Maybe somebody has a player or a contract they want to unload, and maybe that's what gets it done.
One other part of the dynamic here, though, that to me, maybe there's a non-obvious team like what we saw with Trey Lance going to Dallas, and he sat behind Dak Prescott. Maybe someone says, hey, Seattle, we got Geno Smith for one more year. So I don't think that's out of the equation either.
Final word on it, Dan.
I think the teams that are off the beaten path are New Orleans Saints, are the New York Jets, are the Cleveland Browns that you sit there and say, okay, maybe we're not going to give them that second round pick, but a third or fourth round pick to secure the now and the future has a chance.
All right. We'll see what winds up happening. Again, I remain a believer. We'll see if he's able. We'll see where he winds up. By the way, friendly reminder, we got baseball coming your way. Spring training action. Yankees, Mets, tomorrow, 1 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, First Take follows us. What statement did the Celtics make yesterday? What is Caitlin Clark's legacy? Stephen A., Shannon, Perk, Andrea Carter, and more. Top of the hour on ESPN. All we have time for is Danny's joke. Go.
All right. What animal has more lives than a cat?
More lives than a cat.
A frog. It croaks every day. I was from the referee for my boys' basketball game.
All right. That's all the time.
Hey, Mike T, why don't you laugh once, okay?
First Take now.
That was funny.